Dear friends, today's subject on which he is asked to speak is power of prayer. Prayer presupposes a belief in the existence of God. Otherwise, we have nobody to pray to. So we take it for granted, even before we have seen God, before we have found our union with Him, that He does exist. This faith in His existence comes to us from the messages which we have received from saints and sages and other spiritual masters who have infused this faith into us by their teachings. And now, taking for granted that God exists, we have to next know where He is. There also, the saints have taught us that God is dwelling within us. Heart is the seat in which God is residing. And now, it is found out that God is and He is dwelling within us. We have to realize Him, find Him, and live in the light of His grace, light of His guidance. This is possible only by contacting God within us. That contact is possible only through prayer. Prayer is a means by which we communicate with Him and open up a relationship with Him. We look upon Him as father, mother, friend, master, or Lord. In any aspect we look upon Him and then consider ourselves to be His children, servants, or sons. This relationship brings us nearer to each other, and our prayer then becomes very, very real to us. When you look upon Him as Master and ourselves as servants, we pray to Him to give us the right guidance so that we can always walk on the path of righteousness and not go astray. God, who is dwelling within us, listens to our prayer, responds to it, and grants us the necessary strength to walk always on the path of truth. This power we derive by prayer. Prayer should be only done with the sole object of getting the knowledge of our union with Him. Knowledge is the word rightly used here, because we are ever one with Him, but we do not know it. As we do not know it, we are like children missing the mother. Although the mother is in our presence, we may, by shutting our eyes, not feel her presence or see her. The moment we open our eyes, we see the mother before us. Not that she came newly to us, but she was there even before, but we had closed our eyes. So it is that we have closed our eyes to the existence of God within us. When we open our eyes, we know God is within us. He is not to come from outside and take a seat within us. He is already there, but we are unconscious of Him, not aware of Him. We have forgotten Him, and therefore feel we are separate from Him. This sense of separation, it is that makes us miserable, unhappy, bound, and in every way subject to fear, cares, worries, and anxieties. The moment we know that God is within us, and we are always basking in the sunshine of His grace, then we feel happy, just like the child which was missing the mother has found the mother. So prayer enables us to contact God and also to feel His presence with us. Because as we go on remembering Him through prayer, our intensity to have Him increases and we feel His nearness as our mind becomes purer and purer day by day by means of the prayer and by means of continuous remembrance of Him. For Ramdas, during this time when he was struggling to know God, to realize God and feel His presence, there was one mainstay that was God's holy and all-powerful name. Whenever he kept the name on his tongue, he felt that he was very near to God because the name made him remember Him, remember God continuously, and that remembrance developed into a consciousness in which he felt not only the nearness with God, but also oneness with Him. So the name leads us to Him without any doubt. Prayer and chanting of His name are the two things needed in order to find Him within ourselves and realize our unity with Him. Ramdas had not done anything else but these two things, prayer and repetition of God's name. Whatever else he did in the way of discipline, such as fast, solitudes, society of saints, regulation of diet, all these came with the sole object, or done with the sole object, of keeping up a continuous remembrance of God in the mind. All these disciplines are not done for their own sake, but with the sole object of constantly tuning the mind with God. Whenever God remembrance left him, he used to feel utterly miserable. When the remembrance was there, he was perfectly happy. It is then when the mind does not remember him that you feel restless and unhappy. The separation is unbearable. When you have once found him, once you have contacted him and derived peace by that contact, a separation thereafter becomes unbearable. This is the experience of all devotees of God who are trying to remember him and feel his presence always with them. In the early days of our struggle to approach him, there is what they call touch and go. A tug of war, as it were, going within us. We find him for a time and then we miss him. When we miss him, we are in a state of perfect agony. The agony of separation makes us intensely long for him, pine for him, and that pining and longing again brings us in contact with him. It is said the feeling of the devotee who missed him is like the feeling of a fish that has been taken out of water. How the fish thirsts for the water, so the devotee thirsts for God when he misses him. When this state of things is with us, then it's easy for us to have a continuous remembrance of him even in separation. That intense remembrance of him make us conscious of his presence within us, and then we will have again a reunion. This is in Sanskrit called viraha. Viraha means agony of separation. We are living in the world and we are wishing that we should have God, but our desire to have God is so lukewarm that we do not feel the separation from Him. We are so much used to forgetfulness of Him that we does not consider that this is a kind of disease with us. This is a kind of life which is not the real life that we have to live. But when we pine for him, and when we pray to him day and night to send his grace so that we can keep our mind ever in union with him, in communion with him, in constant remembrance of him, then it is that we get what we want through prayer. Prayer should be done not with a view to get from God any material things. Ramdas remembers in this connection the famous teaching of Jesus Christ, seek first the kingdom of heaven and everything else will be added unto you. We are more concerned about the material things when we are praying to God than for the real thing, the union with him and the realization of everlasting life. This is not that we want so many things that God gives us, which are after all perishable bubbles, which do not remain with us for all time, which we have to ultimately leave behind when we close this earthly career. So what we want is his grace, so that we can realize our oneness with him, realize his presence with us, and our union with him. This should be the sole purpose of our prayer to him. In the Bhagavad Gita, you will find also an assurance given by God. The shloka, if Rambas can repeat the shloka in Sanskrit to you and explain its meaning in English. Ananyaschintayanto mam ejanaha paryupasati tesham nityabhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyam. Rambas repeating the shloka because you would like to hear the Sanskrit shloka in its original, because Sanskrit is a language which may not have been so familiar to you, but you will like to, Rambas feels, hear him quote that shloka. The meaning of the shloka is, I bring full security and peace to that devotee of mine who keeps his mind ever in remembrance of me and keeps his soul in union with him through meditation, through continuous remembrance. That means he who has made God the goal of his life and strives to attain him and therefore remembers him constantly, I look after him in every way. Ramdas's first year's life as chronicled in Quest of God was lived by wandering from place to place all over India in a state of complete surrender to God. He had no thought of the body, he had no thought of the food, he didn't know where he was to rest. His one thought only was of God. His tongue was continuously chanting God's name, and his mind was in a state of absorption in the divine, so to say. He was not feeling that he was separate from the divine, and the world for the time being disappeared from his mind. And in this state he wandered all over India, and God in a mysterious way looked after him. Therefore, this very shloka, the meaning of which Ramdas had given you now, was printed on the first page of the book as the motto of the book. This assurance of God has been fully testified, fully proved to be true in that 1 year life of his, which was only at the start. And now, of course, it is evident every second of his life that God is looking after him most tenderly. He has come here all the way, maybe about 12,000 miles from India, but all through his journey he was looked after so tenderly. When he started from there, many people had the misgivings that he would have to go through many difficulties and discomforts and so many troubles on the way, but nothing of the kind. God arranged everything so beautifully that he had not to suffer anyway due to this long trouble. So it is not proper for us to ask God for any material things, only for things of highest value, that is the realization of Him. To see Him, feel Him, have His contact and companionship always. That can be possible only when we find Him within ourselves as the all-pervading universal truth. When you tune yourself with Him, become one with Him as universal truth, then you will never miss Him. You will have His presence always with you. At every point there is a contact of Him. Wherever you see, it is He. Whatever you feel, it is Him that you feel. In all manner of ways, you will have contact with Him. And this comes through the realization of God within us as the immortal, changeless, all-pervading truth. And this is attained through prayer done with no selfish motive in it, not with a desire to get anything from Him, except that everlasting state in which we feel our oneness with Him. Health, wealth, and so many things of the world, these things come and go. Even this body is not permanent. So to pray for anything perishable is not the correct way. When God can grant us immortality, why should we ask Him things that are mortal, which are changing, which are impermanent? God says, whatever I give you for your prayer is not permanent. If you ask me that I should be yours, I can be yours. I alone am immortal. So if you want me, I can become yours. But you do not want me, you want things from me. And these things are not perishable. And those things cannot give you real peace, because they are changing and they are perishable. Changing and perishable things cannot give you real and permanent happiness, permanent peace, permanent joy. And so ask Him to be yours, or make you His. It comes to the same thing. That means you ask for immortality. In immortality there is real joy and peace. There is a prayer among the Hindus, lead me, O God, from the unreal to the real. Lead me from darkness to light. Lead me from death to immortality. This should be our prayer to Him, and nothing more or nothing less than this. Then we will come by the highest beatitude, in which we will enjoy supreme bliss and peace here and hereafter.